Blog Talk Radio.
Oh!
War Wrestling Authority Radio with your host, Chaotic Katie, the Dean of Wrestling Referees, Steve Kane, and Sadistic Sean David. Lock and load, wrestling fans, it's time for War!
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Sadistic Sean David. I would like to welcome you here to the Evolution Radio Network. Tonight is the return of Wrestling Authority Radio live on Blog Talk Radio. I am joined by my co-host.
Hello, I am the Sultan Slitherson.
Yes, you are, and Chaotic Katie has tonight off. I have been told this will hopefully be her last week off for this month. We do know that she's still dealing with some medical stuff, so y'all bear with me with her and, you know, send her your well wishes. Sin, I'm going to let you open the program. I want to make sure this is who I think it is. I'll be right back. I got to screen them.
All right. Well, today, for one, I believe we're talking to C. Red tonight, are we not? I believe so. So, yeah, we're going to have an interesting conversation with him. He's doing a little event in the Chicagoland area for school, so we're going to check into that, deep dive into that. Maybe probably touch on Monday, or not so much when that Raw is the pay-per-view with WWE, and go over what happened in ECW last night for the
ECW.
Title.
ECW, when did ECW resurrect? Ladies and gentlemen, Sin has broke down tonight's program. Without any further ado, I would like to proudly introduce to you a 2019 icon of the Illinois Valley inductee and legendary Chicago wrestler and manager. He is the Urban Sensation. This is C. Red.
Man, I need you to wake me up every damn morning with that damn introduction. I need you to record that and then send it to me so I can play it every morning. That's how my Alexa will wake me up every morning.
There you go.
Red, it's been a while since we've seen each other. Let's take a minute to
It ain't been that long. It's been about a year.
You know, I haven't seen you since we were both inducted into the Icons.
Right. So that's a little bit longer. So, you know.
Yeah, that's been 2-3 years.
Yes. Red, why don't we remind everybody that you and your boy, Miles Mercer, along with Renee Von Peebles, we're a part of NWA Showdown last year. I have the footage to that. I'm the only one that has footage of that because I paid to have it filmed. And unfortunately, not to my booking, but the booking of Mr. Brian Blade, Miles Mercer did have to have a match with probably one of the worst talents I've ever seen on the independents. And this is no BS. This is not me here to tickle C. Red or Miles Mercer's taint, but Miles had a match with that good old Mr. Fitness, too, that was just I think I've tried to show Sin it a couple of times, and he's like, man, what were they doing booking this guy?
Yeah, not impressed.
let's back it up. Ooh, Jesus. See, just the thought of it makes me choke.
Oh, man, you're all choked up. You're all choked up just thinking about it. Not good.
I mean, Sean called, and like I said, I'm not one of these guys for – I treat people the way they treat me. And Sean has never not been honest or fair
at least when it comes to me and anybody I'm associated with. So when he called and, you know, said he wanted to book us, you know, and it was like, okay, great, okay. And, you know, I was on board, you know. You know, we worked out the details and we went forward. So I knew shit went awry when, while on the road, Ryan calls me and tells me, he says, hey, Renee's with you guys, right? I'm like, yeah. And he was like, we need her to wrestle.
Oh, geez.
Now, you know, again, everybody knows any professional, you know, they keep their gear.
Yeah, I was about to say, the first thing I learned in wrestling from my trainer is keep your gear everywhere.
Yeah, but she was so adamant because, you know, really what was just talked about was Miles working and me managing Miles. And she was fine with that, you know. So so for Sean to reach out and say, hey, you know, this is what we need. And I'm like, you know, I got to look at her like, hey, you got your stuff?
Yeah.
She's like, nah, I didn't bring it. And, you know, of course, I gave her the vet, why did you not bring your stuff? You know,
yeah,
but
exactly.
After
yeah.
that, you know, she explained, and I was like, well, okay, I get it, you know.
I've purposely not brought my stuff to places I haven't wanted to wrestle.
Well, I mean, hold on, we ain't even finished with this story.
Okay.
So, Sean, you know, I tell Sean, she doesn't have his gear. She doesn't have her gear. And it takes him a few minutes to respond, and then he does respond back, and he's like, that's fine, that's fine. It's, you know, and I'm thinking, oh, okay, they want her to run in on a women's match or something. I'm like, she can do that. I'm like, cool, that's not a big.
Yeah.
We pull up to the venue, and I guess I should have known something. Sean was in the park.
Yeah.
And he's never been in the parking lot. Like, he's waiting, you know. So he tells us, you know, they need her to work tonight. And I'm like, work or run-in work? And
yeah,
he was
exactly.
like, well, the other female talent didn't come in for whatever reason, so we need her to work. I'm like, if she's cool with it, I'm cool with it. You know, what about, you know, getting her taken care of? He was like, she'll be taken care of. And I'm like, at that point, okay, cool. As long as she's taken care of, I'm good, she's good, you know, hey, we're all good. Everybody, you know, we all get to go home and everybody's good. Okay, so fast forward and we're meeting everybody. People, you know, some people, of course, we knew. You know, most of them we didn't. But we turn around and we meet the owner. You know, he's like, oh, I'm, you know, happy to meet you guys. You know, it's like, oh, okay, great. Appreciate it. No problem. And the next thing I know, we beat Miles' opponent.
Mm-hmm. I've seen pictures. I've seen a little
and
bit of him working. Yeah.
So, again, but understand, I had never seen this guy work. So,
neither did I.
And
I was showing it, yeah.
You know, I was always taught, you know, as a kid, you never judge a book by its cover. again, because I believe I am the epitome of that, honestly. You know, most people, again, they've seen me manage for so long that they forget I can wrestle. So,
correct.
Now,
Angus was originally supposed to have a match that night. I don't know what happened with that. And unfortunately, they put Angus with this Mr. Fitness 2. And Red, from my personal analysis and rewatching this footage, it appeared to me that Angus McDuff got a bigger pop than this champion of theirs, Mr. Fitness 2.
I agree. And I think that was just simply based off of the area and people knowing who he was.
Yeah, he's a great rep.
You know, from, you know, and again, depending on, you know, where you might have seen Angus from. But again, he did get a bigger pop in. Again, you got to back up. So, because you got to back up to the night. So,
yep.
I asked the promoter, you know, okay, is there anything special he wants? And, you know.
You're doing
and
a
he was like, no.
Job.
Right. You know, he was like, no, just, you know, manage your guy. And, you know, I'm like, okay. So I had came up and talked to Sean. I had an idea, you know, this guy's supposed to be, you know, the champ and take on all comers. And I was like, okay, well, I tell you what, you know, how about, you know, we do, you know, I come out, you know, and, you know, I tell him I got somebody for him, you know, you're in my backyard, so, you know, I'm, you know, my guy's going to defend home turf, yada, 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 yada.
You know, you say it like yada, 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 but anybody who hasn't seen you, if they haven't seen you, you have far more pizzazz than that when you make these introductions. You are a very articulate man.
Yeah, but, you know, again, I'm, you know, I'm trying to, at this point, you know, get a feel for what's going on. You know.
Yeah, yeah.
Instantly, I'm shot down. You know, like, pew, pew, like, I'm dead in the water. I'm like, damn, okay. So he tells us, you know, this guy, you know, is his champ, you know, so this, that, and the other. And I sit back. I'm like, hey, okay, I'm a visitor here, so okay, I'm just gonna, you know, do whatever it is they need us to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I noticed Miles is talking out the actual match. I haven't even got to the main yet.
Yeah.
And the dude is sitting there. I thought I was bad smoking. And coughing. No, this dude looked like he smokes like a carton a day. You know. And he was just sitting there talking to Miles, and he was like, and I'm like, really?
How's this guy gonna not be winded within, you know, 2 minutes of the match?
Right. I'm like, this dude is gonna be hacking up all over the place. I'm like, okay, again, you know, I'm gonna give him a chance. Who am I? I'm nobody. Get his dude a chance. So I turn around and I asked Sean, like, hey, what about Renee? And he was like, yeah, well, the girl's around here somewhere, you know. And I was like, okay, so we signed the girl. And she was, you know, from the looks, she looked like to be a decent worker.
Yeah, she had the right look.
So I'm like, okay, great. So I come up with another idea. I'm like, hey, okay,
we need to explain why Renee doesn't have any gear on.
Yep.
So I'm like, maybe she should do an open challenge to tap in to anybody in the audience and Renee accepts.
Yeah, sounds solid.
And, you know, and again, you know, got shot down. You know, no, that's, you know, she's with you, so, you know, she'll come out and, you know, they'll work the match. And I'm thinking in the back of my head, I'm like, but this is not helping because anybody that knows her knows she does have gear, you know. So, you know, it's not like we flew in and we can use the airport lost our luggage, you know. So
right.
I'm like, how are we going to spend this? And he was just so nonchalant. I will give credit where credit is due. I don't know how Sean dealt with this dude all night. I really don't. Like, Sean kept trying to, like, throw scenarios and all kind of stuff, you know, so this guy would understand where we were coming from,
yeah.
You know. And he wasn't feeling none of it.
No, his honest opinion of Red and Renee and Miles and Angus is nobody knew, would know who the hell they were, and I proved him very much wrong on that night. Was happy to do that. Because Red, Miles, Renee, and Angus were four of the people on that event that got the biggest pops of the night next to Christopher Daniels and Lance Archer, which were also on that card.
I don't understand how you can come into somebody else's backyard, per se, and say nobody knows who they are. Like, you know, I could technically and honestly, I could say, who the fuck are you? Oh, can I cuss? I'm sorry.
You get two F-bombs. Everybody's
limited to two. Yep. Okay. Well, I used one. y'all forgive me. On my
show,
I drop it randomly. But that was my thing. Like, who are you? Like, dude, I've never heard of you. And here's – so to homage to my broadcast partners, I normally say here's the funny part and you drink. But this is the funny part.
Okay.
If you look at the flyer, right, and the promoter is on the flyer as the champ, right?
Okay.
Dude, the promo pick had to be 5 or 6 years old.
Mm.
Because he no longer looks like that.
Wow.
You know,
very true. Very true.
You know, he had six-pack abs on the flyer and on in person, one ab. Miles' opponent, again, you know, he is a – I mean, I give credit when people get in the ring, but, again, it was like slow motion. And Miles, it was one of those things where Miles took poo-poo and made magic. You know, he did what he could. And
the old Ric Flair could wrestle a broom and it'd still be in their teams.
Yeah. And, I mean, you know, he made the guy look like a million bucks.
Good.
And not only that, but the pop that Angus got coming out with that guy during the match, he got a bigger pop than the champion. The guy is your champion, and the guy that I brought in that was supposed to have a match manages your champion and gets a bigger pop than your champion.
Sometimes in
That's because, again, people knew who Angus was versus nobody knew who this guy was.
See, and that just goes to show trying to know your audience, because I made the same mistake at the last Wicked show. Like, I was like, they're going to cheer for Pondo. So I automatically had it set in my mind that I was just going to be the dirtiest bastard in the match. And, Pondo's like, no, you should, I think, you know, you're going to be more over than me. Turns out, because, you know, I was doing all the promoting and stuff, a lot of the crowd knew me, and I did get a bigger pop. And I did not expect that. You know, so it's if they know you in the area, you know.
Yeah, and I mean, again, I mean, this is a company that, I mean, like, come on. Like, I've never seen you in the area before. And, again, that doesn't necessarily mean anything. Just, you know, like, you know, outside of the people that I knew, it's because, again, guess what? I know them. I've been around them, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
But to say, you know, like, and I think it confused. He was supposed to be the champ, and he was supposed to be a baby. But I think people might have took away from Angus as getting the pop, and the pop went toward him just by association.
Yeah, because
Sean saying, like, the pop was for Angus because, and let's be honest, there were workers in the crowd. You know,
there were.
But, you know, they knew who Angus was. They didn't know who this other dude was.
Yes.
Oh, by the way, I still want to point out every time I hear Angus's name, he's never beat me one-on-one. Just saying.
I wonder why after y'all set him up, we still talk about that to this day. Y'all were so wrong for that. Y'all were so wrong for that.
We fast forward a little bit on this event. Now, this event is headlined by Christopher Daniels and headlined by Lance Archer. This is the event that my issues arose with Christopher Daniels, and I want to explain this. We've got a couple of different promoters on the line now, so I'm going to break this down one last time for everybody because we're coming up on the one-year anniversary of it. So I am told that there's some things that are going to – actually, I'm one of the announcers. I don't have any of the finishes to any of the matches. I don't have a really good lineup. I don't have anything. So I believe it's during Christopher Daniels' match that something happens and I have to send in the other referee. That's as the promoter, if my main official is down, I have been taught that you have about a minute to get your second official out there, usually less than that before the crowd really starts to be confused. So I sent this other ref in, the ref that Brian Blade uses. It does not have a ref shirt, never makes him wear one. I don't understand that. I don't go for that.
You can get away with like a polo with your company's logo on it. You know what I mean?
This is a t-shirt with the guy's name on it. That's all.
Yeah, that's not enough. That's not enough.
So that kind of began my issues, and then there was a setup for a 6-man tag for the following event in July. And I'm not told that these two heels are going to be pulling a guy out of the crowd that's actually the owner of the bar. I'm literally yelling at the top of my lungs for security because I think we have a real shoot on our hands. And then when I get to the back that night, and I think Red might have been gone by then, but I got pulled aside personally by Christopher Daniels. And Blade threw me under the bus for a lot of the decisions that I made. I said, well, you know. And I just sat there and took the heat, but I'm going to tell it like it is. Gina traveled with me, which Red and Sin know. She ran Christopher Daniels' merchandise table. She was not given an autograph, a picture with him, a drink or anything to eat for running his merch table. That's when I lost total respect for Christopher Daniels. I don't care how big of a star you think you are. I don't care what organization you're coming from. Two things that I'm going to say here. One, you work for AEW. You're allowed to call shots there. You don't come into an independent territory and start to call shots. That's number one. Number two, if somebody goes out of your way to help you run a merch table and we tell you up front that she's kind of special needs, you can show her some kind of gratitude.
Well, then on top of that, a lot of names even bring in people like Terry Funk and Powerhouse. When we brought Funk in, Funk brought his wife with him, you know, and she ran his merch table, and he paid for her airfare and everything. So, I mean, that's a total different, you know, mentality that Funk took to the business as opposed to, like, Daniels, apparently.
Right. So we fast forward. Renee Von Peebles is in a match with their women's champion, Morgan LeVay. And I'll let Red tell the rest of the story here until I need to cut him off to explain to him where I was going to step into this match, because I almost did.
What do you want me to say? I honestly didn't like the match.
Well, you introduced I introduced you.
Right. I mean, I came out. I introduced Renee, which made no sense because, again, here she comes, you know, down the aisle in a T-shirt and jeans, you know, and it's like, this so not us, you know.
Yeah, you don't look professional, and that's a big thing.
Well, I mean, she didn't. I mean, you know.
Well, that's what I mean. You never want to – you hate not looking professional being on a card. I know the feeling, yeah.
Well, not only that, I mean – the way I look at it, you know, is we all represent each other, you know.
Exactly.
So,
yeah. You
know, she's not dressed, you know, that looks bad on all of us. And again, we understood where it took place. But, you know, if I am a Kane fan, and again, you know, I would have been highly disappointed. Again, unless that angle that went along with it kind of explained it. But since there wasn't no angle, I was already, you know, I was out there, but I wasn't out there, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Totally does, Red. Totally does. The point in the match that I almost stepped in is when Morgan did some kind of move to Renee, and Renee's head snapped back and hit one of those turnbuckles, and I literally had to stop myself from jumping in the ring right then and there and just having it thrown out. Because I was commissioner that night. I had the right to do that. And I was under the impression this Morgan LeVay chica was safe, and when I saw that, my heart sunk because I went, I just took Red and one of Red's girls and put her out here with somebody that clearly doesn't know what they're doing. Because that should have never happened.
So how'd her head, like, what happened that caused her head to hit the turnbuckle? What'd the other girl do?
It was
go ahead, Red.
It's even hard to describe. That's how
unorthodox, weird it was. Yeah.
Yeah. like it was one of those things like, okay, you think this is going to be the move and it wasn't, or, you know, and again, like, I don't get involved in their calling of the match unless, like, I'm needed. And I felt like, okay, well, you know, why should I get involved in this match? You know, let Renee have her match one-on-one. Now, the thing that was so bad for me, and it wasn't bad per se directly for me, but when I'm out there with Renee, I've got fans calling my name.
Yeah.
I've got fans
offering to buy me beers. Like, one guy legitimately brought me a beer. And it's like, okay, now, did I know the guy? Yeah, I knew the guy. But still, you know, I'm like, the people are more focused on me
than on the match.
They're the match. And I'm like, okay, that's a no-no. But it was almost like, we'd rather see you than watch that. And it was like, oh, okay. I mean, I get it, but, you know.
Yeah.
So.
And I want to clarify that none of these booking decisions were clearly up to me. I booked this talent on the card, but it wasn't up to me to where they were placed. And that was my fault for misunderstanding the role that I was supposed to play in Mr. Brian Blade's company. Now, I'll fast forward this a little bit more forward so we can bring everybody up to speed. A couple months ago, Brian Blade contacted me. He needed a name for his event. I believe it was up around St. Charles, Illinois area, somewhere in that region. It was for a guy by the name of Seth Goldberg that Blade was allowing to promote this event, and that kid clearly knew nothing, and it's not an insult to him. It's not his 100% his fault, but I'm going to expose what needs to be exposed here. So Brian Blade came to me begging me to find him a name that could make this date to save that event. And I said, hey, I said, I can get you Aiden English out of Chicago. No flight, no hotel. This is his bottom line dollar. I can make him be there. Okay, no problem. Everything was taken care of with Aiden English. And then about a week or two go by, and Sin was supposed to come with me to this event. He wanted to meet Brian Blade. There was going to be some talk about maybe the three of us coming down this way and doing some stuff together or what have you. But then I hear from Seth Goldberg that I've been removed from the event because, quote-unquote, four guys threatened to bail off this event if I showed up. Now, I've been around 20 years. I'm going to tell you, I am the type of talent that if I'm the promoter and four guys want to walk over one guy that went out of his way to help me, I'm going to let those four guys walk. I don't care who they are. I don't care what their loyalty is. If this guy went out of my way to help me land a name the size of Aiden English and I'm not having to pay him a big payday, then I'm going to keep that guy. I'm not going to bite the hand that feeds me. What happened is because of the Wild Man Beast and a couple of other of Mr. Blade's boys, I believe Van Johnson, Levi McDaniel, and Mr. Fitness 2 himself, along with Beast, pulled rank to have me removed from that event. And that's when I pulled off the gloves and I said, I will never work with Brian Blade again. Probably shouldn't have to begin with, especially after last year. I'll break this down for everybody. I paid roughly $200 to $250 worth of Brian Blade's talent for NWA Showdown last year. That also included me paying Crime Fighter to drive up from Springfield to film the entire event. And I took a $20 payday. And when I told C-Red this, he said, he had told me before he left, he said, we love you. We'll work for you anytime. Please don't ever ask us to come back and work for this moron. And I never would.
Well, yeah, he got that part right. And here's why I said that. First of all, and it kind of piggybacked off of what I was saying at the beginning, I'm a definite believer of second chances. Third chances, fourth chances. That's just me.
Me too.
You know, we, nobody can, and I don't care who they are, ever, you cannot say you've never made a mistake in your life. So the things that, Sean has been accused of in the past or whatever. Guess what? That's in the past. I can't hold that against him. He's older now, so I would like to believe if he made those mistakes, guess what? He's learned from them and he's moved on. But why is it that we can't move on. We want everybody else to look past our bull and our mistakes, but we can't do that for somebody else. So, you know, that's why I've never had a problem with Sean. So I consider Sean to be a friend. So, again, when he called and he asked for us to do this, I was fine. The thing that pissed me off about the promoter more than that was, funny part, again, is Sean was in the parking lot. We pulled up, we parked the car, and as soon as we got out, we started walking toward him. Sean handed me and Miles right then and there. We didn't have to wonder, you know, and when you're a talent, that makes you feel respected in a sense. But guess what? I don't have to worry about this. Now I can go out and just do my job.
Well, it's also a matter of respect when you're working for a lot of new promoters. A lot of new promoters that I've ever worked for, especially as of late, pay me when I arrive so I don't have to worry about it. Because if you can't do that, it ain't worth it. At $5 a gallon now for gas, it ain't worth me to get in the car to do it.
Hell, six. Be happy where y'all at. It's almost $7 here. And it is $7 premium. Whew, Jesus. Anyway, I'm about to cry. So, you know, the show is, you know, I'm not, you know, the guy's in the main event. So, of course, I'm not about to go up to him before his match or after his match. But the show is over at this point. People are clearing out or they're going into the bar. And, you know, it's like, okay, now 15 minutes is good enough. So I tell Renee, go get your tape. So we can go. We got about an hour 15-minute drive. I'm like, no big deal, but still, you know, I'm like, I got stuff I want to do in the morning. So she goes, and the dude blows off. Like, I get it to you in a minute.
Oh, jeez.
Okay. All right. Well, I wait. We wait. And, you know, like, I'm walking around. I'm talking to Angus and some other people I knew. I'm talking to them. And I come back, and I'm like, hey, you got your pay? She's like, no. What are you waiting on? Like, go get your money so we can go. Like, so we can shake hands, you know, and be gone. So she goes back in the trailer, and this time, like, so I guess where Daniels was in the trailer, he wasn't in the trailer at that point. So he went and locked himself in that room. So
right.
I'm like, wow, did you really go lock yourself in a room? Like, okay, so now I'm getting out of here.
Yeah.
So when I see him come out and he's sitting talking to Murdoch.
Yep.
I tap on the door and I'm like, hey, sorry to disturb y'all, you know, but, you know, can we get my girls paid so we can hit the road? You know, he's like, all right, brother, just give me about five minutes. All right. Now, technically, you had more than 5 minutes already, but okay.
You're giving them the benefit of the doubt.
I'm trying to at this point. I really am, you know, and I'm like, you know, you didn't blow me off, so okay. Hopefully, you know, this is the part where you're going to say, okay, let me go get this girl's money. And he comes back. Because he walks out the trailer, he comes back,
You know, and he gives us the bullshit. Oh, it was a pleasure working with you guys. Love to have you guys back. Yada, 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 yada.
You're just thinking, and, we'll come back and I'll just pay us.
And the next thing I know, you know, he slips the money in Renee's hand. And it was half of what she was promised. For me, I was done. I was done. Like, you can't say, like, I saw the crowd. So now, whatever you had discussed with the bar or whatever, my thing was, you knew she didn't have her gear. You knew via Sean what her price was.
And I would have never I would have never sent Red the message to have her work if I didn't go to Brian Blade directly and say, or he came to me and said, hey, our other girl is not going to be here. Is Renee still coming? Can she work? I said, yes, but that means allocating money from the other female you had booked on this thing to Renee. I gave him Renee's price. He was okay with it. That's why we had her work the match. I was not aware that she only got half. Continue with your story.
Yeah. So, I mean, and I think why we didn't say anything, at least at that time, because we were pissed. You know, like, she didn't have to. And it goes back to what Sean said earlier, you know, about his situation. Here's a chink that saved your show. Because one thing, most places, I'm not going to say all, but most places, when they buy a show, there are certain things that they're expecting. So if it's in the contract where, okay, you have to bring in a name, that's in the contract. If you have to have a woman's match, it's in the contract.
So exactly.
If it was in the contract, this dude ultimately saved you a... You know, she saved you a ton of money. And, you know, you paying her, stepping her on pay was, you know, it was just dirty, you know.
Exactly.
And it was like, I don't want to associate myself or anybody that I'm with, you know, with doing that, you know.
I'm going to discuss some details now that I have never discussed about the inner workings of these events of NWAs that took place at Old Republic in Elgin. From what my sources have told me, Brian Blade was given a flat fee of $1,800 to put on this event, and the bar also paid for all the names. Now, I want to remind everybody that the names that were at these events. Show one, you had... Lance Archer and Christopher Daniels. Show two, you had Christopher Daniels, James Storm, and Eric Bischoff. Show three, I believe you had Rhino and Tommy Dreamer. There might have been a third one, but I don't remember. Here's what I'm also going to say. Show one damn near sold out because people hadn't seen it. They hadn't been left a bad taste in their mouth. By the time that third show rolled around in August, his crowd had dwindled. Dwindled. I'm talking maybe 100 people to where back in June we had 300 or over paid asses in the seats. What does that tell you about this guy's booking philosophy?
It leaves a lot to be desired.
Horrible.
I'm going to say right now, between the three events that he ran, the flat fees that he was given, and the names, he spent between $10,000 and $15,000, maybe more. I don't know that I would have done that. I think Sin, C-Red, and I can all agree we would have spent that money wiser. Higher quality talent that wouldn't have left a bad taste in people's mouth. High quality talent doesn't come at a high premium of dollar, let me tell you that. C-Red, for what I would have made up the difference in Renee if I would have known about it, would I paid Miles Mercer, would I paid Angus? you're not talking $100 paydays here, and I don't mean to boast anybody's business on what they're getting paid out here, but you're not talking about $100 paydays. I'll be honest with you right now. You're not. You're getting higher quality, better, fresher, local talent that actually gets a reaction out of a crowd for a lot less money than what he probably paid these people to come from Nebraska or wherever the hell they came from. Now, this was his justification for giving me a $20 payday. He had another ring announcer drive from the state of Nebraska that took a $20 payday. Kid's younger than me. Kid obviously hasn't been around the business as long as me. I know my worth. I know what I'm worth. I've been doing this far too long to be slapped in the face like that. And Gina was in tears, literally in tears, because another thing that happened, and I read, you're going to have to remind me if you remember this, but his tag team champions, Levi McDaniel and Van Johnson, I could not get back to the ringside table quick enough to drop the tag belts off at that table. So I handed one of the tag belts, which was thrown down during a run-in or brouhaha, was thrown down into the crowd. And I said, well, I'm not going to let this get stolen. So I picked it up and I handed it to Gina. Levi McDaniel decided he was going to raise his hand to a special needs woman that Brian Blade fully knew was special needs. At the end of that night, it was me, my best friend Wendy, her girlfriend Wanda, and Gina all going up to Brian Blade about this situation. What are we going to do about this? Oh, it was just part of the show, man. No. Absolutely 100% no. You can fool me into thinking anything else was a part of that event, but the one thing that I will not buy is your heel talent raising his hand to a female fan. I won't put up with it. I thought that was distasteless. Now, Elgin to my house was about a two-hour drive. I literally could not get Gina to stop crying until we arrived in my driveway. That's how shook up she was, because she's got PTSD. And Mr. Blade just wanted to pass this off and shake it off like it was nothing and defend one of his bullets. I don't even know where to continue from here. I thought that was just one of the most classless moves that I had ever seen, on top of the actions of Christopher Daniels, on top of the actions of Brian Blade as a promoter. Let's go over this match that he had with Lance Archer. The match was not good. He put himself over Archer in whatever way he could, and he does this. He'll bring in the name, and he'll work him himself. That does not tell anybody that you're bringing in to your roster or anybody on your roster that they mean diddly shit. Because if you're the promoter and you're the guy always facing the big names, then you have zero faith in the rest of the talent that you're employing. That's my take on that.
Well, I will agree 100%, and here's why, and what I'm agreeing to. First of all, I'm going to agree about Gene. Now, unless it is talked about and worked out and discussed in detail what is going to happen, and that special needs adult is okay with it, it understands, you know, it's part of the show, I'm not doing it. So for that to happen was disgusting. But both of you gentlemen have been around. Let's not act like what he did is new. How many promoters have you seen bring in talent, you know, former whatever company they were with, and that's who they're working?
I'm going to give credit 100% where it's due here, and I don't mean to cut you off, Red, but Sin ran Wicked from 03 to 08 in its original run. And that time period, Finn never worked. Actually, I take that back.
I worked one name, but it wasn't my choice.
That's correct. It was the tag
match. Well,
I worked two.
I worked two that was not my choice. One was because Mosh had a setup match with Wild Child, and they were working things out, and they decided, Mosh decided the ending would go better if me and my tag partner came down and broke up the match early on and then set up a tag match for the main event. That was Mosh's idea, and we went ahead and went with it. And the other one was Balls Mahoney missed his flight. And I had to wrestle Madman Pondo.
Yes, and that was in 2011. So in the original long run of Wicked's tenure, you only worked with one name, and it wasn't your idea. It was the name's idea. Some of
exactly.
The credits are where it's due.
No, and I agree. You know, our time at Wicked, you know, again, and he knows I'm going to bust his balls forever, you know, putting that poor kid in there with that big old man. and that's why he's laughing. But that's what I'm saying. Sin is the opposite of that. You see what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
You know, Sin could have always said, you know, hey, you know, I brought him in. I'm spending the money. So, you know, I'm going to get the world. You know what I'm saying? But he never did that. He did that for the boys in the locker room. You know, so like you said, Sean, that's where respect is given and respect is earned.
See, I looked at it this way.
Go ahead.
I got to work a lot of good names, a lot of big names, and it was the promoter that made that decision. From very early on in Powerhouse, when I worked with King Kong Bundy or George the Animal Steeler, Honky Tonk Man, or Bob Orton, you know, like all those things, those were all in different promotions. You know, when I brought those people in, I didn't work them. The promoters chose me to work them. And I just always felt that was the right way to do it. That's the way I was brought in. And that's just the way it was.
That's the way, you know, it... that's the way it should be. And, you know, and again, it's your company. You can do what the hell you want to. So, but that's why I kind of brought up, you know, here's this guy on the flyer, and I'm thinking, oh, okay, he looks like he's in shape, and you know, okay, and he's fighting Lance Archer. Okay, visually, it looks like a good match. You know what I'm saying?
On paper.
On with the old photo, which is kind of false advertising.
Right. You know, and, you know, then you turn around and that's not the case. And, again, hey, I'm not... sitting here with a, you know, six pack and, you know, ripping up t-shirts and all of that. So, but it's just not how you do business. That's the
well,
line.
And
it's not how you
and
do
a lot
business.
Of a lot of promoters realize perception is reality, and if you've got a photo like that of yourself on the flyer and they show up and you look nothing like that, you put on, you know, we'll say COVID weight, because COVID was going on during the time of this event, then, yeah, there's going to be some people that expect some different things. Another thing that happened is a friend of mine came with a whole group of wrestlers and bought a table and could not be given the table. And the bar was kind of fighting with me.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
What?
Yeah.
Like a merch table?
No, they bought a table at like $150, $180 bucks for eight people.
Oh, to use
at
the bar match?
No, so from what I was told, like, you had to, if you wanted a table, so the way it was, there were chairs around the ring, of course. On one side, there was a bar. And so behind, I guess what we would consider maybe Hartam side, would be there was, you know, three rows or four rows of chairs, and then there were tables at the back.
Okay.
So people could sit and they could have their food and they could have their drinks, you know, and they could be comfortable at these tables. And that didn't happen because they sold them tables, but then when they got there, they were told it's first come, first served.
Huh. Wow,
which was never part of the
like, so why that did I buy a table? You know, why did I buy a table if it's first come, first served? I would have just got here earlier with my people and sat at the table.
Not only that, but when you're paying $180 or even whatever it was for a table of eight, you expect that to be reserved for that premium. That's the way I would have done things.
If you're putting that kind of money down, it should be a premium experience table that's there for you.
So I had to go to Brian Blade about this, and he's like, oh, well, this was the bar's doing. Well, it also comes down on you because these are people that I went out of my way to have show up and bought a table in good faith for you, and now they're getting fucked, which makes me look like a fool.
Exactly.
I didn't like that. What I heard ended up happening is they were given free beer, but the free beer doesn't equate what they fucking spent on a table.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, that's the way it is. And it was bad business on the bar's part and bad business is on Blade's part. If you're doing business with a show, and Red will tell you this, if I'm doing a bought show, guess what? We're going to have a meeting before that show goes on because I'm going to make sure that shit like this isn't going to happen because it falls on the company. While the bar may have sponsored the event and paid for the event, at the end of the day, it doesn't fall back on the bar. It falls back on the company associated with this event.
Exactly.
I did not appreciate that either. Guys, we're going to take our song break really quickly here, and we're going to come back. I'm going to have Red tell a story of a match he worked for me in 2012 managing William Trauma, and one of the funniest lines I've ever heard come out of a fan's mouth after this event. We will be right back.
I also want to bring up, I want to know if Red remembers the Garvin chops I gave him.
No,
the Garvin chops. You don't remember the Garvin chops? We worked each other one match, and I came up with this ridiculous idea, and you went with it. It was, you know, the Garvin stomp works, where you stomp every part of the person's body. Well, I told you, I just came up with this idea, and I was like, I'm going to get you in the corner.
Nah.
I'll chop
okay.
your arm,
now
I'll chop your leg, I'll chop the other leg, then I'm going to look like I'm going to chop you in the testicles and cut me off. Do you remember
now
that?
I remember. Okay, now I remember it. Okay. Oh, my God. Now I remember. Oh, my God.
We will save this for after the break. Yes, we will save this for after the break. Folks, we'll be back in about 4 to 5 minutes. You are listening to Wrestling Authority Radio here on the Evolution Radio Network, exclusively live on Blog Talk Radio. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Maybe. Why is she being fun?
Back.
Well, if she will work with me.
Thank you. professional wrestling, entertaining action that attracts a crowd and provides excitement at a fair or festival. The right promotion will have professionally trained talent with professional-grade ring gear and equipment. Fairgoers will want to see more of them and attend ticketed events in the area. Bringing the wrong promotion, not vetting their credentials, you could end up with an embarrassing disaster. The talent may have no ring gear, little or no professional training, aren't family-friendly, and perform so poorly, you'll wish they'd return to the backyard they came from. Burned organizers won't chance bringing in pro wrestling ever again, shutting out legitimate promoters. And the fairgoers, if they want to see wrestling, will only go to WWE events. If you want live professional wrestling at your fair or festival, don't get burned. Check their credentials before you book. A public service announcement from the Nosebleed Seats.
All right, and we are back. We are back. Boy, I'm still trying to process some of the information that I was just given, and I'll be elaborating on that more before we close tonight's program. I'm not happy. I want to make that known. I am not happy at all. This guy has been continuing to book big-name stars, and I don't agree with this at all. I don't agree with biting the hand that feeds you. I don't agree with asking people to come in and try to save your ass and then doing this to them. I don't agree with that. But we're going to continue on with this program, elaborate on that a little bit later. Red, probably one of the funnest matches that I've ever had the privilege of promoting. I know you worked for my brother in the same building back in 2007 with Willie and Trauma. In 2012, I ran the same building, and I booked Willie and Trauma with C. Red against the team of Psychotic Rage, Jimmy Blaze, and Mitch Blake, who you don't hear a lot about anymore, and there's reasons for that. We all know why. But this was an excellent tag match. I put Willie and Trauma over, and I still have this on DVD. I am literally sitting in the back. I think we might have had another ref out there for this. I don't know if it was Steve, but I just remember bell rings and crowd starts chanting, black guys won. And I'm sitting here going, oh, my God, these guys are going to kill me.
You know what? If we've been called worse. I will take that as a compliment to me that night. The crowd was into it, and you know whether they expected us to win, lose, whatever. It was fine. I mean, I will take that any day over working with Sin and having the LaSalle Police Department called on us and having guns drawn. Because somebody called and said we were three black guys and a white guy was kidnapping another white guy. Really? In broad daylight? Okay.
You know, I gotta dig up that footage because that was actually quite entertaining. You guys really went over the top. The fact that some neighbor actually saw it happen and called the police,
that was somebody across the street.
Yeah,
that's
correct. It was somebody that lived there. They had no
idea. But for us, you know, we were just shooting a promo, you know, and you know, we walked through how we wanted to do it and how we wanted to shoot it, you know, so they. Whoever it was not paying any attention to all of us just walking and cracking jokes and, okay, let's do it like this and let's do it like that. And, you know, it's like as soon as we said, okay, action, and we start filming, you know, like the whole block is like, what's going on? Someone called 911. Really? Like, we're wrestlers. We're shooting a vignette for our upcoming show, sir. Can you put your gun in your holster, please? Thank you. You're making us very nervous.
Yeah, right.
But
I apologize for that so much. But
dude, for what? Because
there's no way I could have known, man. I mean,
nobody would have known that. Nobody would have known that. And so let me give. I'm all about, especially when I get older in age, I believe in giving flowers while people are alive. So I'm going to give both of you your flowers. Not one time did I ever work for either one of you, and I regretted it. I had fun, and to me, I can't speak for anybody else, that's what this business is about.
Friendship.
I understand some want to make money. Some want to, you know, make it to the top and all this other stuff. For me, I want to have fun. If I'm giving up whatever day it is, a Saturday, a Sunday, a Friday night, whatever, if I'm performing, I want to have fun. I don't want to feel like I just left. Why did I do that?
Yeah.
Not even
like
a job, because as much
job.
As my job, you know, as much as my real job, you know, some days takes me to my limit, you know, I never still have that feeling. Like, wow, why do I do this? You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then I have been in plenty of shows where I have left, and again, my pay could be right, you know. I could have sold some merch, but in the back of my head on that drive home, I asked myself, why did I do this?
Well, I'm not going to bring
it. I didn't have fun.
I'm not going to bring up the promoter's name, but about the time when I went back to do the Botch Memorial show, when we came back and did that Wicked show, I knew I had to bust off some ring rust, so I called up a couple of promoters, and one of them brought me in. And it was good payday for at that time. It was over $100 and it was good. You know what I mean? So I came in and he wanted to give me a title that night and I agreed to it. And I ended up regretting it because I ended up having to work more matches past what I had planned. You know what I mean? And that was fine if it would have been good matches. But the problem is about, I don't know, a lot of the younger guys worked with, they were great. He brought in some good guys. But he had me work one individual twice that I hated working this guy. I'm not going to name names. And the second time he was putting in, he was just added at the last minute so he could go over as champion. And I'm like, boy, it takes every good boy thing that I learned in wrestling just to lay down for this guy. You know what I mean? Because I was so miserable. The drive up, the drive back, I just did not want to be doing it. And even like you said, if the pay is right, I'd rather get paid $40 and be happy with the booking than get paid over $100 and just be like, this is miserable.
Yeah. I totally agree. That's why I said, you know, every time I've worked for you guys, I've enjoyed myself. And that's what it, you know, I think it's the chemistry of who you're working with, you know, you know, putting people in the right situations, even though, again, depending on who, you know, I can use the invisible man in hell. I get him so over, you know, hell. Hollywood called back and want to do a remake. But, you know, you guys
have always kept it entertaining and kept it fun. The
funny part when Sean talked about, you know, the fans are talking about, the black guys won. And it's like, you got to look at our face. And then when we go to the back, like, Sean is there, but we're busting up because we can't believe we heard it.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, he kind of tried to apologize even that night. And it was like, for what, dude? That was an honest response from your crowd. So we're good. We're good.
So, I don't know what, there were so many times that we let the Urban Freebirds pretty much, we okayed a lot for them guys. And when you were with them, were you there for the Billy Gunn show?
What do you think I've been talking about, sir?
Well, I couldn't remember. Did we film that vignette the night of the Billy Gunn show?
I don't think we filmed it that night. No.
No, but you were there for the Billy Gunn show, right?
Sean, may I go in detail about this show? Please.
Go ahead.
Please.
Go ahead. Please. Please do.
Please.
I've been in so many shows. Something slipped past me.
That would have been the UWA unification show or whatever it was supposed to be with Cameron Cage, where Cameron's guys came in and worked the event. That's also the night Angus got injured.
Yes,
we got to go to the beginning, okay, Sean? We got to go to the beginning. So I don't remember exactly, and I want to say it was Sean, but I could be wrong. All we knew was somebody had went to the airport to get Billy Gunn.
Yeah, I was. I believe it was me and somebody else, Terry Hopper or something. I don't remember.
So me and Trauma are standing in the middle of the aisle by the ring, and we're just shooting the shit. And Sam walks in, was like, hey, bros, what's going on? Glad you guys made it. We're like, yeah, great, cool, great. And all of a sudden, there's this huge ass shadow.
Dude was big.
And we look, and, like, we have to look up, and it's Billy Gunn. We're like, wow. Like, you know how some people, you know, say they're, you know, they build themselves as, oh, they're 6'2", and 225 pounds, yet you look at them like, no, you're really 5'10", and you're 185 pounds. But, okay, whatever. No, dude. Whatever Billy Gunn said he was that and more.
Yeah, he was 6'7", and about 280 of pure muscle. He was insane.
So we're like, okay, how you doing, sir? And he just walks past. Okay, no big deal. He does have headphones on. So maybe he didn't hear us. No big problem. So we go in the locker room. Everybody's got their stuff situated. But everybody's still pretty much like everybody put chairs close together so we can all sit together, shoot the shit, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Billy Gunn is sitting by himself. Like, he is in a don't F with me mode. And you can see it on his face. Like, guys were, like, coming up, like, how are you doing, sir? And he would just shake their hand, like, headphones never came off. Like, damn, he is in a bad mood. Like,
you know what's really weird about that? He spent the whole day watching the Sweet 16 in the hotel room, and he's really into basketball. I would not doubt it that if some of that came from some of the outcomes of the games, because I'm guessing he bets on it and stuff. You know what I mean? So,
well, whatever it was, he was in a horrible mood. So I forget who he even worked at. I totally do.
I think it was Pillman and Skills. I think we're your
it might have been.
Yeah.
it might have been. But here we are, and it's the main event time. 6'7" Billy Gunn versus 5'7" Angus McDuff, whose weight is 120 pounds.
If I would have known the size difference would have been so big, I would not have booked it that way. It would have been really.
Again, we don't know what's, you know, again, we're not the promoters, so we don't know, like, what they've discussed as far as, you know, how the finish is going to go and this, that, and the other. So I'm like, if nothing else, it'd be an entertaining match. So this is the one time all the Urban Freebirds, so if nobody understands who the Urban Freebirds are, that is myself, Tristan PSA, Willie Von Richardson, and Trauma. And we're all crowded around the monitor. And Damian Dunn was there that night. So we're and we're all crowded around the monitor. Like, what's going to happen? All right, here we go. All right, ding, ding. Billy Gunn starts laying in Angus. Angus tries to put whatever. And it was like anything Angus did just wasn't working. Okay. All we know is they go for an arm drag. And I'm assuming that's where Angus's shoulder popped out of place.
Actually, it was the Billy Gunn press slam that he always did. Yeah, like every match I was watching. So what happened, he got him up, like, he got him up for the press slam. And Billy's used to press the guys that weigh 250, 300. You know what I mean? And,
right.
You know, Angus, he's good at getting up and posting and everything. So Billy got him up. And if you watch the replay back we have, he gets him up and Billy's, like, losing him. Like, he does not have him secured in the press position. So he just kind of tries to toss him so he'll land on his back, you know, with the best he could. And Angus, in return, ends up landing on kind of the back of his head and his shoulder. And it just ripped his shoulder out of socket.
Yep.
And
all we knew was he was hurt.
Yeah, we knew he was hurt. Immediately after seeing that move, we knew he was hurt.
But we're thinking, so he rolls to the outside. And we're like, okay, they're taking too long. Maybe we need to run in.
And I'm watching the screen, and I'm like, let's see if he can get it. Let's see if he can pull himself back in.
Right. So you're saying that, and we're like, and we're waiting. And, like, by now, it's like 2 or 3 minutes, and he's been down, and Billy, of course, is like, giving him head punches, but he's also checking on him.
Yeah,
and
I think that's what I said.
And we're like,
yeah.
You know, we're like, somebody better go get Melissa, somebody better do something. We need to run in.
Yeah.
In the ring. He gets back in the ring, and you can clearly see Angus is dead. Like, he's in pain. Melissa comes out of nowhere, running to the back. Freebirds, go, 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 go.
It was about, you're right, it wasn't me. She's like, Freebirds, get
and
out
it
of
was
there.
Like, it was like, huh? So, like, we've got 10 seconds from the monitor to the entrance to figure out what we gonna do. And it was like, okay, so, all right, we going after Billy Gunn. Tristan is going to grab Angus because it only made sense because Angus wanted that. I mean, Tristan wanted the title and Angus had the title.
Exactly.
So
yeah.
It only made sense. So it was like, Tristan was like, I'm going to grab him and bring him to the back. Okay, so there he grabs him and he's fighting him to the back. Now, this is where stupidity comes in. Because we forgot who Billy Gunn was. Now, you would have thought, and I'm the most stupidest one of all, and I'm saying that live on your show. and I can't. I forget what he hits Willie with.
A punch. He potatoes the potato guy.
Right. Okay, so he potatoes Willie.
Yeah.
And Willie goes down. Trauma rushes in. He gets a boot. Famouser.
Yep, Famouser. Exactly.
And
9 months,
but
I'm thinking,
you know what? Okay. I'm going to get down here and do something. Now, Willie is bigger than me. Trauma is bigger than me. But my ego said I was bigger than both of them and Billy Gunn.
Yeah, Billy wasn't going to take any bumps from you guys.
Billy Gunn hit me. And my grandson still feels it to this day.
What did he hit you with?
He hit me with a punch and then he hit me with a kick.
Did he famous?
And I said, I mean, he was good with it, but it was just the fact that it was like, oh, this is some bullshit.
Yeah.
And just by, don't you hate when you're doing shows and people, that's when everybody wants to text you, like,
I'm going through the same thing now. That's why I've kind of been quiet the last couple of minutes. I'm getting texted and blown up, and I'm like, people, I have told you Thursday night, 6:30 to 8:30, I'm not available.
No,
I don't care if your buddy calls.
You with being mad that because Billy Gunn catered somebody.
Yeah, that was probably William Drama.
You know, but it was funny, and then we all jumped on him, and then he fought all of us off, and the crowd popped. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, the best part.
Kristen made it back to the ring and took the last Famouser.
Yeah.
And he
now,
got
the
easiest
best part.
Well, he was harder on you guys than Tristan.
Right, of course, because we're the three black guys, right? Right. Right.
That's
we're the guys that, you know, got the police called on. So, you know. So the best and most memorable part for me ever is, we just decided to cut a promo.
That was so great.
And so this whole time, you know, I figured, okay, I'm about to cut this promo. And Billy's in the room. Nobody else is in the room. Damian Dunn is filming. And I go on to say, you know, we came down the wicket, you know, and we didn't care who it was. And even Billy Gunn, we whooped his, and then somebody stops me. Trauma stops me. And points over to Billy Gunn. And for whatever reason, Damian Dunn turns the camera on Billy Gunn and he gives me the middle finger.
Oh, I thought he pointed at you and laughed.
No, he gave me the middle finger.
Oh my God, I did not know that, C-Red. I am so sorry.
And I get up and, you know, I'm supposed to be the big bad manager, right? So now I'm getting ready to go after Billy Gunn. And I jump, and Trauma catches me like a newborn baby. And he's walking me out. And as he walks me out, and I'm going on this rant, Damian takes the camera and pans back to Billy Gunn. And Billy has lost his shit. He is dying laughing.
He's laughing his ass.
And like, when we finished, like, it was a totally different Billy Gunn. Like, he was like, guys, that was some of the funniest shit I've ever done, even though I didn't know we were doing it. Oh, my God, that was hilarious. You guys rock. And it was like, really? Like,
when you started
this
cutting
ain't the same
promo,
dude.
Do you remember when you started cutting the promo? Willie was holding his head while you were like, we're going to take over and all this. Willie's rubbing his head where Billy punched him.
Right, the whole time Willie's just rubbing his head, talking about, ow. You know, and it's like, really, dude? Really? You got hit one time. Really?
You want to hear what happened after that? After this, like, when I took him back to the hotel?
What did he say?
There was a black lady who needed gas to get back to Chicago. Right? She was stranded.
Oh, my God.
Her car was at a gas station. She was stranded. And the hotel was next to the gas station. And we get him back, and she approaches us and asks if she could just have $20 so she can get back to Chicago. And Billy looks at her, and he's like, well, I'm going to give you $20, but you got to promise me you're not going to spend it on drugs. You going to promise me? He made her promise him that she wouldn't spend it on drugs. I'm just like, oh my God. Billy is a weird individual.
All right. Well, we're gonna move this show along because we got about 20 minutes left, and I know Sin want to get out of here on time tonight. He's got guests, and I'm evidently gonna have some company. So we're gonna take about the next 10 minutes. Red, tell us everything we need to know. It is a private event this Monday. Pop Wrestling returns to the Chicagoland area for your students. Tell us about it.
Oh, wow. You would think I would be prepared, right?
And I'm going off.
I do know one thing. There's a gauntlet match going on that I'm supposed to be part of. So obviously I'm going to win. I mean, nobody can beat me. So that's already determined. That's figured out.
I'll run over
everybody. Put me in first. I'll take them all out.
Oh, okay. If you say so.
I'm telling you, I got the Billy Gunn mentality.
Oh, Lord. I might have to cancel your booking.
Oh, shit. Now mine's going to be canceled. See what you did, Finn?
Right. See, he messing it up for everybody. So I was with another organization. When I came across this idea, and not that I came across it, I just had it. I'm so tired of young people being told what they can't do instead of us telling them what they can do. So POP stands for Positive Outreach Program. And essentially, we go to schools, we go to churches, whoever has it. And depending on what they want, they get what they more or less ask for. We've been to a news one. Guess what? We played Family Feud with elementary school kids. When the very first event was at my school, and we just talked to the young people. Everybody. And then one year, my principal had an idea. He was like, yeah. So matter of fact, after we did the first event, he said, you know what would be cool is if you guys could put on a show. And we were like, oh, never thought about that. He said, okay, we'll mull it over. I was attached to another company at the time. But I didn't forget. So he turned around and we wound up being, I don't know if anybody ever saw the documentary CNN did called Chicagoland. But we are episode 8. And we go into a high school and we put on a show. And not a show, but we put on like 3 or 4 matches. And then we talk to the young people. And then afterwards, of course, we signed autographs and took pictures and all that good stuff. So I brought it back to my school. And ever since, however long I've been doing this, I can't tell you anything. We've done it every year. At the end of the year,
for my students.
You wouldn't believe how many young people actually still watch wrestling.
It's a way, you know, to tell them good job, you know, we're proud of the achievements you made throughout the year, and just try to have fun. So,
unfortunately, it is a private event because it is at a school. But let me tell you, today is Thursday, and the feedback I've been getting since Monday from the students, they are hyped for Monday. They are hyped. They're ready for Monday.
I'm hyped. Honestly, I'll say this on air. I heard about this event that you were putting on, and I contacted you to be a part of it. I went out of my way, and you know, I don't really wrestle much anymore. And I just knew I wanted to be a part of it because it sounded like a fantastic thing. And even in Wicked, we always love charities. Charity shows are fantastic.
Yes, we do. And, you know, that's why I did the whole Wrestle Wars thing. I got a lot of flack from a lot of people. Well, you're only doing shows that benefit the community. Yes, because in an area like LaSalle, Frew, Ottawa, Streeter, Spring Valley, Princeton, this area has given itself to wrestling for damn near 30 years. Over 30 years, actually. It's time that we give back to this community, and this is going to lead me into my next segment. We broke the news here last week. It has been announced August 20th, Luz Legrado Pizza in Peru will be the return of Dreamwave Wrestling for Summer Spectacular. Now, my sources, I cannot confirm this. This is rumor and speculation as of right now, but my sources are telling me that this is going to be a full-fledged return of Dreamwave Wrestling, unlike it was in 2019 when they just did the reunion where Jay banned all of the talent and I got screwed by Ego. I'm not trying to harbor hate here. Please understand that if he wouldn't have told Brubaker to sit home for my event, I would have never booked Ego. I do hold him a little bit responsible for that, but it's also Brubaker's fault for listening to Repsol on that. I get that Brubaker was one of Repsol's key guys with Dreamwave, but those are dirty shenanigans that I don't believe in. Just going to put that out there.
I will say something positive about him, though. When we did the Botch Memorial Show, he allowed us to hand out flyers at Dreamwave, like it was a week or two before our event. He let Ali Mustafa come, and he didn't want him to wrestle, but Mustafa, because the way he felt about Steve Zopes, Botch, however you know him, he came in, he did commentary with Kurt Razzo. So he was there in attendance, and it was just, he was really good about letting his guys, he didn't give Mustafa any trouble over it or anything. He let him come in, and it was good. You know, he did us right.
Yeah, that was several years ago compared to mine, which was in 2019. And here's the thing. I was going to book those guys regularly instead of just the one-and-done shot. But I am happy to see them back because C-Red, Finn, and myself can attest that Powerhouse Wrestling Extreme is nothing more than a giant joke. Always has been, always will be. They did Streeter High School, and it flopped.
Well, I mean, it is what it is, and it'll be good to see good wrestling in the area again. So, I mean, I'm looking forward to that. And, I've kept it on the down low, but there's a couple venues we're looking at, too, but it's not in Dreamwave's area to potentially run a show. And I'll definitely talk to C-Red about that at the show on this Monday. So
yeah, I'm looking forward to you guys participating.
So here's a show where I'm just going to tell you now, I'm going to be, you know, running like my head cut off, even though I have Flash Harris and Renee Van Peebles working along with me to help pull this off. But I'm going to be running around like a madman. But you guys will bring something fresh and different. My school is all about equality and acceptance and versatility. And your characters bring fresh air to that. Again, I've got a few surprises planned up my sleeve for Monday. There are 5 matches. So Stan already announced the first match will be a gauntlet match, but there's a twist to it. So the students will find that out. The second match will be for the first ever championship, the Lady Eagles Championship. Renee will go against Vega Venom. The third match will be Hot Chocolate Acid Jazz versus the Dream Breaker Aaron Stone. The fourth match will be the champion, it even hurts to say it, Miles Mercer and Mike Strong, and they will be going against the challengers of Flash Harris and myself. And the fifth match will be the Battle Royal. There will be a twist in that as well. So all in all, it's going to be a fun event. Like I said, the kids are hyped about it. Some staff, I think the staff likes it just as much as the students, because, you know, they always ask, you know, and they've been asking all year, are you bringing the wrestling show back? Are you bringing the wrestling show back? And, you know, it's just become a part of who we are. And I never thought, you know, this little idea I had, you know, would turn into this at least one event per year, even though, again, we have done other events throughout the year. But this is the one that I kind of cherish the most, because this is where that idea got started. So
I was about to say, I'll try to make up for the Billy Gunn Taters.
Oh, okay. Hey, I'm fine with it. Again, you know, how many people can honestly say, you know, I was punched by Billy Gunn?
I was caned the crap out of at the last RCW show by Justin Credible, which sucked, because literally I'm in the ring taking Polaroid pictures with him, and out comes the other Sin, the Chicagoland area Sin spelled with 2 N's, and goes to hit Credible. Credible's like, hope you can take this, kid. Well, I ain't got a choice in the matter now. A little bit of forewarning would have been great, but I did what I needed to do. And Red, are you slated to return to Dreamwave Wrestling at this time?
You might be asking a loaded question, because they said they're not announcing yet.
I have seen that Marche is on the poster for that card. That's the reason that I asked.
Yeah.
There you have it, folks. Breaking news right here. Dreamwave Wrestling returns. And, hey, you know what? I know that...
you know what? I'm going to be honest. Even if I wasn't on the show, I would go to the show. And here's why. I love those people down there. I truly do. I don't know what y'all put in the water, if it's the food, I don't know what it is. They love wrestling.
Yes, they do.
Real wrestling. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
I love coming down there.
it, you know, that's why I love working for both of you and anybody I can come down there, because these people, I've been in Chicago so long. And with a Chicago crowd, you get, you know, are they going to sit on their hands and feed, or you just don't know what you're going to get. You don't. I guarantee you, I don't have to worry about that. I don't.
Oh, not no. Dreamwave is going to be crazy. I'll probably end up going to the
show.
No,
but even if it wasn't a Dreamwave show, every time I've worked down in that area, the fans are participating. They are rabid. They love it. They get into it. They don't sit on their hands. You know, they don't give you the golf clap. You know, if they love you, they love you. If they hate you, they hate you. You know, I love being a part of a show where, guess what? Everybody is participating. The workers are participating. The ref is participating. The fans are participating. You know, and it makes it worthwhile, you know, versus coming out and everybody's just like, yay.
Right. Yeah, kind of reminds me when I was with Powerhouse, since like there was only 5 state licenses, this whole area, people would pack in and go nuts. And then I remember, as you know, I got a few more years into the business, and I started wrestling in places like Michigan, Chicago, Indiana. The Chicagoland area is just a tough crowd. And Sean and I have talked about this, you know, like some shows down south. He's like, man, how are they so over? How are they drawn with that product? And I'll be like, because those fans just love the stuff, you know. And in Chicago, I mean, sometimes they don't pop unless you do a move that's going to break your neck.
Absolutely. And I've been at shows where I've had to see that. Red, final question to you tonight, and then I'm going to let you hype anything else you've got coming up other than this weekend. I know you'll be in Hammond, Indiana next Saturday. Has there been any talk between you and Ian Rotten about going back to IWA Mid-South now that they are in the Chicagoland area?
You know what? I haven't talked to Boss in a while. I really haven't. I will, you know, of course, send messages if something is going on. But I haven't talked to him directly as far as coming back to IWA Mid-South. I wouldn't mind it, but I would have to take the right course. I mean, Miles can pretty much go wherever and work. That's not what I'm worried about. But it would have to be the right tandem. You know, I'm not just going to bring, hey, here's these guys, if I don't think, you know, that they can live up to that expectation, you know. So, you know, what I
100% agree.
What I would love to, you know, do one more run, but you know, it's got to be right. Don't do it if it ain't right.
Yeah, I'm the same way. Once you start getting up there, you'd know to pick your shots.
Absolutely,
very much so.
Well, Red, you've told us about this coming Monday, but how about you tell us about next Saturday? You'll be in Hammond, Indiana. I believe it's for C3W or C. I don't have the correct name in front of me right now, but why don't you break down some details on that for us real quick?
Next Saturday, the 18th, is, as you stated, in Hammond, Indiana. It is for C3 Ultimate Wrestling. The name of the show is Kingdom Come, based off of the champion, Miles Mercer, member of the ARC. The show will be at the Gene Shepherd Community Center, 303 JF Mahoney Drive. The doors open at 12:30, and the showtime is at 1 o'clock. right now is slated. Miles will defend the championship against Just Amazing based off of this show is literally 1 year in the making. And it's based off of a show before that a year ago called Guys versus Gals. And a gal by the name of Kayo Kendra decided she thought she was bad enough to take the title off of Miles. And if you know us, we are equal opportunity ass kickers. We don't care. So we had a chair and we introduced it to her head. Her husband, Just Amazing, came out and he was upset. I don't know why he upset. Hey, she ran her mouth. She said she wanted to get in the ring with the cane. She did. She lost. Oh, well. So, Just Amazing is defending the honor of his wife on the 18th. Yeah, okay. The newest member, well, he's not the newest member, but he is a member of the ARC, Jackson P. Larkin. Will be going against the Dreambreaker Aaron Stone for the Urban Heritage Championship, I believe it's called. Again, another member of ARC. JPL is the man with the concrete hand, and we plan on getting rid of Aaron Stone once and for all. There is a three-way KO Kendra, Vega Venom, and Renee Van Peebles of the ARC in a three-way dance. We all know Renee is going to win that. Like, why even talk about this match? It makes no sense. Renee, just pencil Renee in. Just, you know. And there'll be a whole bunch of great matches for that show. So if anybody is in Hammond that night, they can come out. And if you are trying to follow us, you can follow us that same night. Me and Miles Mercer, we will be at the Steam Hollow Brewery in Montino, Illinois. And the bell for that show is 7 p.m. For Chicago, not Chicago, ooh, shoot me while I'm alive, Southland Championship Wrestling. Let me just say this is a fun show. It's at a brewery called Steam Hollow Brewery. And what better place than to drink beers all night and watch wrestling? And, I mean, like, they're actually good beers. So, you know, this isn't like, oh, give me a Miller or give me a Bud Light.
Give me a Pat.
No, these are...
Give me a Pat. Give me an old style, the beer that tastes like this.
Oh, my God.
We
oh, wow. You could have hung out with my dick.
Yeah, I was about to say, the bars we used to go to, we used to call that beer dog bile.
Yeah, hey, my daddy drank that. So, we've got that. And one last show, if it's okay, I plug.
Yep.
Chicagoland Championship Wrestling, we will return with the return on October 9th, Sunday, October 9th, in Michigan City. I know it's so far out, but if anybody's listening, Chicagoland Championship Wrestling, you can find us. We've got footage on Fight. We've got footage on Amazon Prime.
That is a good promotion that was affected, unfortunately, by COVID. That is run by John Bullard. John Bullard and I have had some great conversations. We see a lot of things eye to eye. If I wasn't potentially moving by the end of the year, because it's happening damn sure by the end of the year, I would look at trying to pick up some bookings out that way. I'd love to work for him. He runs a great promotion. Couldn't have more great things to say about that. So, yes, make sure you get your tickets for that. that is going to do it for us here tonight, folks, here on Wrestling Authority Radio Live on the Evolution Radio Network, exclusively live on Blog Talk Radio. Want to thank C-Red and Sin. Next week, right back here on the Evolution Radio Network, will be the return of Rampage Rant, Thursday Night Turmoil, and you can guarantee we will be talking about the Pop Wrestling event from this coming Monday. I am Sadistic Sean David, along with my co-host,
the Saltless Blue the Sin,
and our special guest,
C-Red. I appreciate it, gentlemen. I'll see you guys on Monday.
Monday. Have a good weekend, ladies and gentlemen. Enjoy the nice weather. Happy Pride Month. And we will see you right back here next week. Good night, everybody.